We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome to the Guilty as Charged podcast. My name is Steven, and I am the host, as always, and joining me is my guy, Tyler. Tyler, what's up, man? How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well, although I've come to the realization that because I have not a Mac, the thumbs up, the heart, the thumbs down doesn't work for me, but hey, all good. I'll survive.
Yeah, so I tested it out. I FaceTimed my mom yesterday, and I did the two thumbs thing. Let's see if it works. There we go. So it is a Mac feature, I guess, not just a StreamYard feature. So shout out to my mom. I don't know if she's watching or not, but love her. So shout out, Mom.
Aw. Hello, Mama Haglund.
So today we are going to dive further into some free agency preview matters. We're going to talk about some must-haves, the essentials for the Chargers regarding the 2024 free agency class. This is Joe Ortiz and Jim Harbaugh's first free agency group together, and obviously it's a very important one that will set the tone for the rest of their tenures together. So some moves, some strategies, all that, specific players maybe that we are planting our flag on, and this is what we want to see the Chargers accomplish in free agency. So it should be a fun conversation. Hopefully you guys enjoy it. Before we get started, the Chargers have sent out some news today. I jokingly said that it would be cool if they dropped some news before the show, and they did. So much obliged to the Chargers for that. Linebacker Eric Kendricks has been released. We interviewed Mr. Eric Kendricks last year. He's one of my favorite interviews in terms of off camera, before camera. He was very kind and gracious with his time, was able to speak with us before and after and had some good conversations there. The Chargers clear $6.5 million by releasing Eric Kendricks. They made it official today, which means that Eric Kendricks could theoretically go sign with another team before the tamping period this next week. So that's good for Mr. Eric Kendricks. We'll see if he's able to land on his feet there. But Tyler, your reaction to the release of Mr. Eric Kendricks?
Yeah, nothing unexpected here, obviously. I think there's maybe a 5% chance they'd keep him just because his linebacker class isn't great. But otherwise, it's not your guy. Kendricks, by all accounts, was more Staley's guy. Seems like Telesco wanted Tranquil last year, as is anyway. So to not be your guy, it doesn't really fit. And the team wanting to go, maybe younger, whatever, obviously cheaper at linebacker. No surprise here. My only question is, okay, now that Kendricks is gone, so the thought of keeping Kendricks is that this linebacker class isn't great. So you keep a linebacker that's a veteran, who'll get the job done for a year, even though it's a bit expensive. Now that he's gone, which is not unexpected, who is the guy that you have in mind to be the other guy? I think Deion Henley is A or B, one or two, they're going to be two linebackers. So Henley's one of them. Yeah. Who's the other guy? And I'm curious, you know, because there's three routes you can go. It's on the roster, free agent, or in the draft. I think that unless it is Nick Neiman, or let's say Neiman's the starter, I don't know. But if it's not one of those other guys, you at this point are either punting on the position entirely, or you're signing a good priced veteran free agent, or you're taking one pretty early in the draft. And so I'm very curious what they've identified as their strategy to get linebacker going. I don't think it's a huge priority. At the same time, though, watching Minter's defense, it is important the linebackers play well. And, you know, is it over DB, over D tackle? I don't think so. But Barrett, Colson, they had a big part of that defense. And obviously the Ravens spent a lot of money and a lot of capital on their linebackers. So I'm very curious how much they're going to invest in this position.
Yeah, I think every single time I talk about like an ideal scenario for X position, right? It's like, well, there's like seven other positions that the ideal scenario is the exact same. So, you know, the Chargers needs are extensive, and we're going to get into some of the needs and things like that here in a minute. But in terms of the linebacker position, I know how important linebacker is to Jesse Minter's defense watching it, and I'm not going to rule anything out. I just feel like for me, like this is probably the position where I'm taking some lumps in 2024. The free agency class is, you know, there's some fine players in there that the Chargers could pay for competency. You know, the draft class is, I think, maybe slightly better than I initially thought, because I do really like Junior Colson. I really like Peyton Wilson. Adrian Cooper is pretty fine. I would describe, I think he's kind of a little overrated at this point in time. People are talking about like a first round pick. I think that's a little too out there for me. So I think you have like a decent linebacker class, a decent free agency class, and you drafted Deion Henley last year. So I think you kind of have to see what you have in Deion Henley at one linebacker spot. Maybe you pay for a cheap veteran, and that person and Nick Neiman kind of duke it out for the other linebacker spot. But I just think they have so many other needs at premium positions, specifically on defense, that linebacker is probably just a position where you're going to have to take some lumps this year. Maybe Derwin plays more linebacker than previously thought kind of deal, and just kind of overcompensate in other ways.
Yeah, Jesse Minter talked about Derwin closer to the line of scrimmage. To me, it feels more pass rushing than just pure like linebacker type stuff. But you do what you got to do, and Derwin, you know, can do it. The interesting part for the Chargers, I really didn't even realize the Chargers were this close, but they are, quote unquote, now only $19 million over the cap. You yep. cut Mike Williams and you are officially cap compliant. Now, that doesn't help you overall because you still have to right. get money for draft picks, et cetera. But I mean, that's it. They are now one Mike Williams cut away, or Khalil Mack cut, but it feels like Mike Williams cut away from being cap compliant. And whereas it felt like an impossible situation somehow before, it feels like, I mean, that's it. They took care of business, and that they're one move away. It'll hurt. You know, of course, you don't want to lose players you liked for many years, but they make the one necessary move, and we're in business.
Yeah, to Tyler's point, so they can get cap compliant by one release, and then you maybe extend Keenan Allen, and you have some wiggle room for free agency. That's not enough for, you know, signing like a Mike Unwenu or like a Saquon Barkley that like people were talking about today. You know, because that's not that much space, and obviously you can, you know, finagle the cap hits and things like that and make things work, but you know, the Chargers have wiggle room within striking distance essentially with this release. Maybe they could trade or release Morgan Fox and things like that, but obviously they were gifted a pretty nice present by the cap increase. Corey Linsley working with the team has helped them significantly. So the Chargers are in good shape heading into next week in terms of getting out of quote unquote cap hell. That doesn't mean they can go be crazy, but to Tyler's point here, they're one move away from becoming cap compliant right now.
Yeah, never really particularly in cap hell. They could have gotten out of it easily, and they're about to get out of it no problem. It's just that they cannot do much after that. But they will be compliant, and that is not an issue. As Joe Horty said, I have no choice. So, of course, right. we'll get to cap compliancy because I have no choice.
Yeah. What do you make of the idea that, you know, maybe you kind of hold on to Khalil or Joey all the way through the draft, and then you kind of maybe have some June free agents or May, June free agents instead of being a little more aggressive in March.
Yeah, that's not a bad call. I'd have to think of even just like precedent for that one, because I don't believe there's a huge difference in when you release, if there's even a difference when you release either of those guys.
Well, I'm more so talking about like the strategy of like holding on to them and not being aggressive now to try and see maybe you maximize the trade market for one of those two.
Okay. See, if it was Telesco, you know, Telesco, we know it happens. It happens ahead of the draft. It's all taken care of and it's over. But with Ortiz, I'm curious. I don't know. I think you do right by the players and just everything is taken care of in March. As far as trade value, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I still feel like there's a lot of debate here and there. I still feel like Khalil has more trade value. I know that like Daniel Popper and some others have said that they feel like Joey would have more trade value. I just have a hard time, like with all the injuries that Joey has gone through, that he would fetch more of a trade package than Khalil. That being said, I don't think either one are really getting like a great trade package ahead of, you know, this current season.
Yeah, I agree. I guess it's the other thing. Like if you hold on to them, what is the inflated trade value? I don't know. I have to look more into this edge class, like how many teams who need an edge will leave happy with the edge rushers they have or that they got. I don't know. To me, it feels like if you're trading them, it's a deadline thing. But at that point, I don't think you're trading them.
Right. I would agree there. All right. Before we get started here on the main topic, Nature's Calls podcast, our guy Nathan here in the chat. Sad for Kendricks, happy for the future. Appreciate the super chat. Nathan has started his own Chargers podcast. I've had a great time conversing with him about draft prospects and things like that. So definitely encourage you guys to go check out the Nature's Calls podcast. So appreciate him for tuning in tonight and all the great support over the last few years.
Yeah, man. Good luck with the new podcast. It is not easy at first. You're going to look back in a month, 6 months, 12 months and go, oh, good gracious. Like, why did I even do that? Say that? What's that background or whatever? Just take it easy on yourself. Go with the whole process and you'll get better.
Yeah, when we first started, I would go back and like listen to our episodes, like the entire episode, and I'd be like, man, why did I do that? Why did I say that? And like one of our first episodes, we interviewed Yogi Roth, and I was like, I listened back to it sometimes from time to time to see like how far we've come and things like that. Yeah. So don't put too much pressure on yourself. It's all learning experience. It's all process.
Yeah, I just got an email that all our Buzzsprout episodes were deleted due to inactivity. So all the ones from 2020 are all gone. So they're somewhere on my computer or an email somewhere. But yeah, no longer on Buzzsprout. So salute old friends.
Yeah. Pre-YouTube as well. So
that's what it is. Mm-hmm.
All right, Tyler. So we're talking about the essentials, the free agency must-haves here for the Chargers in their first go-round together. If you had to start this conversation off with one player, strategy, idea that the Chargers absolutely have to accomplish over the next couple of months here, what would that be?
Yeah, I think it ties into my struggle every time I do a mock draft. And that's, okay, I really like this receiver or this edge rusher or this D-tackle or whatever, this corner. I really want to take them. But the Chargers don't have a starting center, so I got to take a center. And not that the center class is bad by any means, but there's just so many other guys and so much depth at other positions. I want to take those guys instead. So to me, the Chargers have to walk into this draft. This is the number one most important thing for me. They have to have a starting center, starting caliber center. Could be average, could be really good, could be a three-year starter, could be a one-year starter. They got to find someone. I don't think it's Brendan Hymus, although he's their current center. Joe Ortiz said they feel like they have a couple of guys who can snap the ball on this roster. Unsure who the other guy might be or other guys might be, but it's definitely Hymus is one of those guys. Got to find a veteran starter out there. You talked about Glasgow. There's Andre James, whoever. We've talked about the names. Got to find somebody who can come in. And should you miss out on everyone in the draft, you take that player. Because if you don't take a center, if you don't sign a center, you're taking one in the first two rounds. You can't take Cedric Van Pran in the third round and go, all right, there we go. We're going to go out there and have a good protection call and protection plan. You know, we have a mock draft dropping on the Chargers channel tomorrow. we did take a center prospect, but it's so hard to find one early on and then not take another position. So to me, you got to find a center, and the draft, I feel like, is so much easier after that.
Yeah, because I think like this is a great center class in terms of the top end talent and in terms of the depth. You know, Jackson Powers Johnson is probably a top 20 player. Graham Barton is probably a top, you know, top first round player, maybe early second. And Zach Frazier as well. Like, this is usually you get like one top 40 center. This year there are three that could play center. And so I totally understand, as a former center, like the appeal to find that long term guy. But again, like, it's the same thing as linebacker, right? Like, where you just have all of these other needs. So if you draft a center to start right away, like, that's great. You have a long-term center, but what about corner? What about defensive tackle? What about wide receiver? What about tight end? Like, it's just, it becomes like almost a more rushed process. This is just for us, like, obviously, like, you know, as amateurs, like doing mock drafts where I'm like, okay, I took a center. Great. Where's my corner? Like, I need a starting corner. So it makes things way easier. I think part of free agency, and I guess this is my must have, is to pay for competency as much as possible. You know, there was a lot of Saquon talk, a lot of Josh Jacobs talk, and the Chargers, like, theoretically, they could sign those guys and you make a lower cap hit and things like that. But I'm trying to solve as many of my issues as possible. I'm trying to get a blocking tight end. I'm trying to get a center. I'm trying to get a starting defensive tackle. Like, I don't need star players. The Chargers can't afford star players at those positions. But just pay for competency. Like, raise the floor across the board. And I don't think you need to go chase big names. I know everybody wants big names, but the Chargers have so many needs, and I'm trying to plug as many as possible with competency first and foremost.
Yeah, I definitely agree there. Obviously pitched a couple of 10 million APY names, but realistically, right, we're looking at the guys that are underneath that. And so I think you're right. Paying for competency would be great, because it's the Chargers. I mean, what's the list? I don't know if we've finalized a list of what they need, but QB2, RB1, RB2, tight end one, potentially tight end three, center, swing tackle. And that's just on offense, blocking tight. Like, there's too many things that the Chargers need. So you can't go spend a ton of money on one spot. They could, I guess, and just trust the draft with themselves, I suppose. But no, you got to find a way to pick up a few of those different spots, I guess, in terms of paying for competency. And you could obviously, center is thrown in there. What, like, are the three position groups they have to address in terms of getting as competent as possible at those positions in this free agency period?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I was pulling up the depth chart that we made to do like our 53-man roster compare, like, projections. You know, at this time last year, you had Austin Ekeler, Joshua Kelly, Isaiah Spiller as your running backs, Gerald Everett, Donald Parham, Trey McKitty, Stone Smart as your tight ends. Wide receiver core is obviously mostly intact. They'll potentially cut Mike Williams here, likely cut Mike Williams here in a minute. But you had Keenan, Mike, Josh Palmer, Darius Davis, Quentin Johnston. Offensive line, you have Rashawn, Zion, Corey Linsley, Jamari Sawyer, Trey Pipkins, Foster Sorrell, Jordan McFadden, and Will Clapp, and then Brennan Hymus, who you mentioned as well. So just on offense, you're talking about, I know people really like Isaiah Spiller. I think you need three running backs in this offseason. I think you need at least two tight ends in this offseason. One, maybe two wide receivers, a center, of a swing into your offensive lineman slash potentially starter. And that's just on offense. That's just offense. Like, that's a ton of needs. And that's before, like, a lot of people talk about right tackle. I don't share that opinion, but you either need a swing tackle or a starting right tackle. So it's a lot of needs just on offense. And that's before we get to the defense, which is in, I would say, worse shape.
Yeah, it is not pretty. As far as other position groups for the Chargers to target, and what I would love them to do at this point, Seattle does not have a tight end on their roster, I think, at this point, or if they do, they, yeah. I haven't really heard of them, because Fant, Disley, and Parkinson, are all free agents for whatever reason. It's a surprise to see an entire group get overhauled when that group was pretty good, at least in terms of blocking. So I think you got to find one of those guys, find somebody else, find at least a blocking tight end. if the Chargers go Neighbors or Dunze or whatever at 5 or 8 or 11 or wherever they end up going, at least get the blocking unit part of the tight ends down okay. Like, you don't have to have an elite tight end to have a really good offense. Obviously, the Chiefs do. The 49ers do, although Kittle had 2 yards or whatever it was in the Super Bowl, which is fine. Yeah. But he can block. He can definitely block. So at least get one of those guys, because it is Brock Bowers. The next tight end that's best available is not a blocking tight end. And you're looking for like a fourth round guy to be your tight end 1A or B, you know, ahead or behind a Donald Parham, who never stays healthy, who is 1 year left on his contract. So yeah, I think finding a tight end is the next must.
Yeah, I completely agree. That was one of mine as well. I think, you know, you can maybe work with Donald Parham as tight end 3 as kind of like a red zone weapon. I think to a lesser extent, you're probably taking some lumps from the receiving position at tight end. To me, I think you need to sign 2. And I think you just need to say, you know what, like, maybe we don't take a tight end again in this draft. I would like to see them take one. But like, it's just not a good class outside of Brock Bowers. Like, you know, Jordan Reed had Theo Johnson go 49 in his latest mock draft, which I like Theo Johnson a lot. At 49, that's kind of crazy to me. So I think tight end is definitely one position where I'm solving it, you know, per se in free agency. And I think Colby Parkinson makes a lot of sense. He can kind of be your, maybe do it all tight end, who's not necessarily great at anything, but he's just really good at something. The Jets cut CJ Uzomah today, who was Pro Football Focus's 4th highest graded run blocking tight end last season. Not much of a receiver at this point, veteran presence, things like that. So I think you sign 2 capable blocking tight ends. Maybe Donald Parham is your receiver. Maybe Stone Smart emerges as your receiver. And you just kind of say, we're just going to be fine at tight end with good blockers. And the other one for me is safety. Not to say that this is a bad safety class, but I don't want to be drafting a safety when I need to. So I want Alohi Gilman back. I officially think that this is a must-have as well. He's not going to cost a whole lot. Brad Spielberger projects less than $3 million. And I think you need 2 of that kind of veteran kind of presence. So maybe that's a Kevin Byer to play free safety. Maybe that's a Deshaun Elliott. Maybe that's a Geno Smith.
Rayshon Jenkins.
Rayshon Jenkins was just cut today. Honestly, I'm not opposed there. Maybe that is a Darnell Savage. Maybe that's a Micah Hyde. You know, there's Taylor Rapp as a free agent. There's good, like, quality starting safeties. And we'll see what happens with JT Woods. I'm not necessarily banking on that. But I think you re-sign Alohi, you sign somebody else, and you just say, we're good at safety heading into the draft. We don't have to draft one. So if you asked me a little bit ago, like, what are the most important ones? I think tight end and safety. I'm solving those in free agency first.
Yeah, you were big on those 2 position groups last year. Didn't happen, obviously. Well, they found Dean Marlowe, of course, and like, but you know, maybe someone a bit more like starting capable for an entire year. Yeah, I love the idea of Alohi Gilman coming back. There's no safety in the, you know, after, like, the Chargers aren't taking the safety, I don't think, in the first 3 rounds, and there's no safety on day 3 that is better than Alohi Gilman, at least in year 1. No shot. Frankly, there aren't a lot of safeties in the NFL that were better than Alohi Gilman just last year. In the games he played, at really any number you look at. So, yeah, Alohi Gilman back. I think that's probably as far as they go. I think it's obviously Derwin. I think it's Alohi. You pray JT Woods works in some regard. Special teams guy, call it a day. I'd have to look at maybe how the Ravens constructed their defensive roster, but I think it's just bringing either Alohi back or another veteran free agent safety, and just like you said, just call it competent.
Yeah, Kareem asking about Quandre Diggs. I would love it. He would be a fantastic fit next to Derwin. Probably a little too expensive for what the Chargers are. Well, at least for what the strategies that we're talking about.
Yeah, I would think so.
I think he was a Pro Bowl player and an All-Pro, second team All-Pro 2022. So like, he's still got some juice to him.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm just going to throw this out there, and I don't necessarily mean this as something they need to take action on. Thoughts on one of the not must-haves, because I'm not trying to get rid of this player, I feel like you just put some feelers out there for what Josh Palmer's trade market could be. And maybe that's pre-draft, at the deadline, that sort of thing. But I'm curious, Keenan's getting an extension, so he's wide receiver one. Then it's Quentin Johnson potentially, if it's not Josh Palmer. And then let's say they take a receiver in, let's say it's Malik Nabers. I just think you have to start preparing for the idea that Josh Palmer might have some trade value. Now, they could also go the comp pick route, right? They let him walk. He gets a decent paycheck. They get a comp pick later down the line. But I don't think you need to act on it. But I think I would just field and just, I'm just curious, like go find out what he's worth in trade value, because I feel like he's kind of going to be the odd man out if the Chargers draft a receiver in this class, even though he's better than Quentin Johnson, like, and might be better than the rookie that they draft. I just, you got to find, just look, do your due diligence.
I think that's true about every player that's not one of the pillars. Like, I think I know the Chargers have zero long-term corners, but like, I don't know how much of a fit Asante Samuel Jr. is in this defense. So
right.
I think you could make some calls about all those players. I think Morgan Fox, you know, one of the most efficient pass rushers in the league, I would like to see him stick around. Trading him, you know, creates an unnecessary hole, in my opinion. But as Arjun pointed out, you know, the Michigan defensive line all averages like over 305 pounds and Morgan Fox is like 275. So I think Palmer is good enough where I still would want to keep him. Obviously, I'm not opposed to trading those other guys, but I think you take calls on all of them and you just say, hey, like, we need some draft picks. Like, what would you consider here?
Yeah, technically Zont would be almost the one that I would consider trading more, but I just, there's no corner. The Chargers don't have corners. Whereas I feel like there might be a logjam at receiver. So it's like, okay. Sure. But then like, I've watched Josh Palmer play. I've been a big fan of his. You were the first fan of his, I feel like, because you actually watched the god-awful Tennessee film. But once he, like, watching him back his rookie season, so good. And then he's continued to progress from there. But I just feel like he could be the odd man out. But we'll see.
Yeah, his quarterback at Tennessee was Joe Milton. And Joe Milton is in this class. So his quarterback was Joe Milton, and then Hendon Hooker took over after Josh got drafted. If Hendon Hooker were the quarterback with Josh Palmer, he would have put up numbers. But thankfully for us, he did not, I guess. I'm in favor of keeping him. I think he's a perfect Harbaugh wide receiver, great blocker, true. Does the dirty work over the middle. The injury stuff is definitely a concern. It's somebody pointed in the chat. It's not a knee injury that's recurring. He's just had several different other knee injuries. Including a couple of concussions, hamstring, knee. I think he's injured both knees, but so hopefully this is just kind of him rounding into, you know, avoiding the injury form, I guess.
Yeah. Assuming Ben Herbert and Jim Harbaugh work wonders, you can avoid at least those things. But to me, honestly, it's the concussions that are more worrisome than anything. I think he's had three. Yeah. Or four.
I know he had one in college. He had one in college, and he's had at least two in the NFL so far.
Yeah, so not great in that regard.
And one was very bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
So.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you have a next must have, or would, or are you including like taking trade calls on people as that next one?
That's kind of part of it. Another one that's, it's not even a must have. It's a no duh. It's give Cameron Dicker a contract. Let's not do this circus again. Cameron Dicker, whatever contract, he deserves, whatever you can work out. All yours, dude. Like, I don't care what the number is.
Yeah. Now that you're saying that, I'm curious what kicker salary is. So, Cameron Dicker is an exclusive rights free agent. So the Chargers would have the ability to match any potential contract offer if he like hits free agency. So Matt Gay last year signed for an average contract value of $5.625 million. I think you're looking, Matt Gay's older, you know, he did an LDS mission, played college soccer, and was in college forever. But you look at like Daniel Carlson signed a $4.6 million contract. Tyler Bass was $5.1 million contract. That's kind of what you could be looking at. You know, Jake Elliott's at $4 million per, Harrison Butker's at $4 million per. I don't know enough about the exclusive rights tag where if he signs that tag, like what's his contract at, but I would just rather lock his future up. You know, I think he's proved last season that he's one of the best kickers in the NFL, so I'm cool with that one as well.
Yeah, no problem for me.
I kind of mentioned this on Twitter, but my next must have is to stay away from the top of the running back market. You know, Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley are projected by Brad Spielberger to make over $12 million per year. Both of them are potentially like 1 year contracts, maybe 2 year contracts. Same thing with Derrick Henry, you know, 1 year, $9 million, I think was the contract projection. So you're not really able to have a ton of flexibility with the cap number. So that's like one difference where if you sign a guy to like a 3 year contract, right, you can lower the cap hit in year one. You can have some flexibility. Mm-hmm. If you have a short term contract, that year one cap hit is likely to be pretty high. And so I know that the Chargers want to run the football. I know that they value running back. I think valuing running back with an expensive running back contract, I know it's not super expensive, but I think valuing running back at that top of the market is a poor roster building process, in my opinion, because you could sign Zach Moss and Gus Edwards for cheaper than one of those guys combined. And you could sign J.K. Dobbins if you wanted to sign three running backs for cheaper than that guy combined. So I just think that the Chargers have too many other needs to pay for an expensive running back. I think you take that money that you potentially earmark for Saquon, for Josh Jacobs, and you go solve tight end, you go solve safety, you go solve running back with multiple bodies. Like I mentioned, I think this kind of plays into you need multiple competent starters, and, you know, handicapping yourself on it with an expensive running back, I think is not the right way in year one. If this is next year, sure, go sign an expensive running back. You have a ton of cap space next year. You theoretically have, you know, the first draft class filling in some needs. So I just think right now is the wrong time for an expensive running back.
Yeah, I guess I don't really know what a good time is. I'm sure Arjun would say that there's no good time for an expensive running back. I think I would overall agree. I think if the Chargers obviously wanted to lean into it, they could. That's one spot I would get it, because at least like it is part of the identity of Greg Roman's offense. Like,
sure,
okay, we're at least going to spend money at a position we're going to use and run into the ground. So at least I understand why they'd go spend money. But I overall agree with the process. Go with a cheaper running back. Go with two cheaper running backs. Get one in the draft. Go get Bucky Irving in the seventh round now, apparently, or wherever he's going to go, and then make it work from there.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, I said this on the Chargers channel last week. If they want an expensive running back, it's Derrick Henry for me. And I don't think it's really all that close. Saquon is a big name, and he had a ton of volume a couple of years ago, but he hasn't, he has not been nearly as explosive or efficient since the injury. And it's unfortunate, but it's the reality. You look at any numbers, it's just not pretty. Josh Jacobs, same kind of thing, has not been the same kind of player. 2022 is proven to be an outlier. He's a fine running back who hit an awesome season in 2022. And if you look at his efficiency on gap power schemes, it's actually his worst rushing scheme attack, which is what the Chargers are going to do. So last season, he really started to pick things up when the Raiders started doing more zone, which fit the offensive line. It fits him better. And the Chargers, they could run zone. I'm not going to doubt Greg Roman's ability to build a run game. But I just think, if the identity is power, gap scheme, I think Josh Jacobs is a poor fit. And I think Saquon's best days are behind him. So Derrick Henry, on the other hand, I think fits wonderfully. I think he still is highly effective. I think he was, let me pull this up so I don't get it wrong, but Pro Football Focus has the wins above replacement metric that they do every single year. Derrick Henry was third last season and seventh in 2022. So Derrick Henry is still that dude. If they want an expensive running back, it should be Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I mean, their Titans offensive line was dreadful. We saw that week 2.
So bad.
Tuli Tuipulotu practically made the Hall of Fame after one game because of how bad the Titans were. And whatever happens in the draft, the only thing we know for sure is the Titans are taking a tackle. That's how bad their offensive line was. And so for Henry to be even mildly competent with this quarterback, that quarterback, okay, new quarterback, for him to be outstanding, again, third in wins above replacement, top 10 in most every other notable category, give him, a quarterback you actually believe is going to throw it and throw it pretty well.
Yeah.
Decent offensive line, decent run game. It would be fun. It's the only name like you that I can truly get behind as one of the bigger free agent names. I'm not like, yeah, let's go get Josh Jacobs or Saquon Barkley. If they do, and Harbaugh we trust, fine. But I just, if it's 1 for 12 or 1 for 9, I don't see why you wouldn't get the guy for 9 when it's Derrick Henry. So I don't know.
Yeah. Regarding running backs, the last thing I'll say is that Brad updated his free agency list and all of his contract projections, and he actually lowered Austin Eckler's contract projection to $4.5 million per year, $9 million total. I believe it was at 6 per year and 12 total before the update. So if you're rooting for comp picks, that's bad news. So we'll see what happens with Austin Eckler. I'd be pretty shocked if he is back at this point in time. Hopefully some other team gives him a bag and the Chargers can get a comp pick out of it.
Lesson, man. A lot of Raiders cap space. Really? No, I don't know. They should think they're already cap held.
Hey, man, the Raiders, the one thing I've learned this weekend is the Raiders love Tom Telesco. the expectations for Raiders general manager are at the literal floor. And so Tom Telesco is going to be a massive upgrade.
That's actually fair. Given the Raiders first round picks, you know what, man? I think they upgraded.
Yeah. So we'll see. The running back contract value, I think, is going to be really interesting. You have some good players in there. I think DeAndre Swift is an underrated player, but I don't think he's a fit for the Chargers. But I think if I needed a running back in general, I think DeAndre Swift would probably be my choice, but we'll see what happens there. All right, Tyler, did you have another one?
That's mostly it for me. We discussed the Keenan Allen extension. Got to get that done. That's a must-have, but we discussed that. So that's all of it, I think, that I could think of.
Yeah. My last one, I put him in the thumbnail for a reason. I know money is weird. I think the Chargers have to keep Khalil Mack. I understand the cap situation. I don't think it's as dire as it used to be. I just have a hard time picturing them getting a draft pick of value that would equate to me being okay with moving on from Khalil Mack. I think they have just as good of a chance to get a compensatory pick for him next year that would be pretty similar to a trade that they do now. And I think this team needs guys who are going to set the tone, set the culture for the duration of the Harbaugh tenure. And I think Khalil Mack is that guy. I think he is the leader on the defense outside of Derwin James. I think he is the guy who's been able to bring everybody together, regardless of the side of the football, whether it's offense, defense, special teams. He's been kind of the ringleader over the last couple of seasons. And I still think he is a high-end edge rusher. I don't think he's going to get 17 and a half sacks next year. But if he gives the Chargers 10 sacks and 60 pressures, that's still an effective player for me. That's still an edge rusher that I think is very well worth holding on to. And he's one of those, he's still one of the best run defending edge rushers. So I think you figure out trade market cut for Joey Bosa. I, as much as that is painful to me as somebody who, you know, advocated for him as like a defensive player of the year candidate in like 2018-19, I think Khalil Mack is currently the better player, currently the more dependable player, currently the more reliable leader. I think you have to keep Khalil Mack, and maybe you add a void year to give you some flexibility. Maybe you extend him. I'm kind of anti-extend just given his age, but you can workshop his contract a little bit. So for me, I wanted to finish this show by saying that I think the Chargers absolutely have to keep Khalil Mack and use him as a guy to set the tone, usher in the next era of Chargers football, continue to mentor Thule, continue to mentor what's going to be a very young defense, I think. So I think Khalil Mack is too valuable to just trade away for a fifth-round pick, fourth-round pick.
Yeah, I would agree. Starting with that price value, no, that's not worth it to me. I know it's $38 million this year, but at this point, if they can become cap compliant and feel like they can make some moves, void year, like you said, they can make it work. Khalil Mack, even if you're paying him $38 million, I feel like half of that is just for the leadership. And I think it was his first year, three edge rushers got hurt. They needed someone to run second string and third string and the practice squad or whatever. And Khalil Mack kept volunteering himself to just go out there and run reps against the twos and the threes just because they needed somebody. He's a perfect Harbaugh guy. He's truly a perfect Charger. And I rarely could you think of a Raider as being a perfect Charger, but I guess he was a Bear before he was the Charger. But he just embodies everything Harbaugh wants, everything Chargers fans, everything that we want, and the consistency is there. So yeah, I agree. I'm team hold on to him. It is expensive. They have other ways to make things work. And this new defensive line, Thule will now be, I think, the starter. So it's the first time he will walk into the season as the starter. You'll have potentially new D tackles, two new starters, even if it is, let's say, Ogbonia and Matlock. Those are still two new starters than what you had last year. So you're going to need someone like Khalil Mack to just be there along that defensive line. Who's the defensive line coach? Alec Elston? Is it Elston?
I know his last name's Elston. I think his first name is Mike.
Okay. Well, Mr. Elston, you need someone to go out there and make it all work. And frankly, I just think Jesse Minter, like, he would just get what Jesse Minter wants to do. And I think he'd be perfect.
Yeah. And for what it's worth, Jesse Minter, like, that they asked him, like, what stands out about the Chargers roster? And he didn't talk about Derwin. He didn't talk about anything else. Like, the first position group he mentioned was like, hey man, our edge rushers are nice. So I just think, you know, I understand the cap relief. I understand you want more draft picks. I think trading him just creates another position need, because if you trade Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa, you have to take an edge rusher probably in the second round, maybe in the first round if you trade down and you're looking at a Jared Verse or Laiatu kind of scenario. But then you have a rookie, and sometimes rookie edge rushers take a minute, and Thule's your edge one. I'm uncomfortable with that situation. I love Thule a lot. I believe in his long-term future. I don't think he's ready to be an edge one right now. I think he still needs some time. I mean, he's 21 years old, for God's sake. And we can't rely on Joey to stay healthy. So for me, the edge rusher's position is kind of a no-brainer. I think you ship off Joey for whatever he's worth, cut him if you have to, and you keep Khalil for another year, and you see what happens next year.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Do you want to take some questions tonight, or do you want to... I'm going to call it.
I'd take 5 minutes of questions or so if we get any.
All right. Sounds good. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. Super chats always appreciated as well. So if you guys have any questions, we'll take some. We are going to do a larger Q&A on Saturday since it's pre-free agency. So stay tuned for that one. We'll have a regular episode on Thursday as well. So, but if you guys have any questions tonight, feel free and fire away for the next few minutes.
I saw one about an over under on trades for us. Someone asked a question. I will try to find it. If not, ask it again in the bottom.
I want to say it was like an over under of like 1.5 draft weekend trades.
Yeah, that's it. So here's one from Eddie.
Okay.
Over under 1.5 trade downs for the Chargers.
If you're talking exclusively trade down, I would probably say under. I think they will trade up at some point. Not in the first round.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to say under. Over if it's total trades. But yeah, I'll say under. And I think that pick 37 is pretty valuable. I have always envied the teams that pick that high in the first, second round, because there's always that cluster of six guys that make it to the second round that really shouldn't be there, a la Brian Branch, for example.
Trey Porter Jr.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, the Chargers picking the top five in the second round is going to be very valuable. I think that's if they don't trade down in the first round, I kind of expect them to trade down in the second round as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Shad Bussard wanted to know how we feel about Patrick Queen. Too expensive.
Too expensive for someone who just finally hit his stride in the final year. You know, Roquan Smith, granted he got a mega contract, was basically great from the jump, you know. So Patrick Queen, no thank you. He was actually pretty rough for him the first few years, so I'm okay. And frankly, the Ravens said they're okay. Like, they didn't give him the fifth-year option.
Right, right. Patrick Queen and Kenneth Murray were, like, neck and neck for the first 3 years in terms of grades, tackle rate, like, stops, all that stuff. So he peaked at the right time. It was contract year. I think playing next to Roquan Smith was very helpful for him, and the Chargers do not have Roquan Smith.
Mm. Yeah, no. Not that I'm aware of.
GMAC wants to know, would you guys keep Gerald Everett?
What was his projection? Not that expensive.
No, I think it was 1 year, $6 million.
Okay. I lean
1 year, yes. 1 year, $5.5 million. So he's actually one spot ahead of Colby Parkinson on Brad's free agency rankings in terms of the tight ends, and $500,000 for 1 year. He's older.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, okay, would I keep Everett in a vacuum? Yes. At the same time, does he help you with any bit of blocking? Not. I thought it was better for sure last year. Like, I guess almost underrated.
He tries hard.
Definitely. But I don't know.
I'm not opposed to keeping him. I think that this offense is going to prioritize a true, like, inline wide tight end as the top tight end on the depth chart, and that to me is not Everett. So if he wants to come back for cheap, I'm not opposed to it. If he's okay being like a tight end two type, I'm not opposed to it. I just think he's kind of a clunky fit for this offense. Like, this offense doesn't use, like, flex a tight end out to the slot a whole lot unless they're like a special wide receiver like Mark Andrews or like Blake Loveland on the Michigan team this year, like Jake Butt, AJ Barner. That kind of crowd was never really like flexing out. Like, Charlie Kolar doesn't flex out. So it's kind of a weird fit, but like personality wise, like, yeah, I think he fits with Jim Harbaugh.
From Jeremiah Fraud or Frode, what are the chances they keep all three ends after they cut Mike Williams? This is the one that's been on my mind because it's so much more likely after the cap increase. I mean, even Joe Ortiz came out and said it jumped up more than we expected. Mm-hmm. So I could definitely see a world where they keep all three edge rushers. I think Joey Bosa's odds of staying increased dramatically with that significant increase.
I don't know. I think Joey's gone, personally. Mm-hmm.
I agree, but I feel less strong about that than I did a month ago.
And that's fair. you'd have to move on from Fox. You'd have to move on from some other pieces because you do need the cap space. Like, you have to be able to sign multiple players at multiple positions. So if Joey is willing to take a pay cut, maybe that's an option for them if he just really does not want to play anywhere else.
Yeah.
But I just kind of tend to think that Joey's done.
Yeah. Him and Harbaugh at least had a conversation. So yeah.
At a pistachio eating contest, weirdly, which kind of is like the most Joey Bosa thing I've ever heard.
I know. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. A couple of people talking about Theo Johnson in the chat. I think he's a wonderful fit, but I mean, not in the second round that Jordan Reed has been going.
Yeah, Jordan Reed has him as tight end three. Technically, I might also, but that doesn't. Tight end three in this class is very different.
Yeah. Yeah. Alex, we were talking about this in the Discord today, and Alex Katzen pointed out that Brenton Strange last year in last year's class went in the second round, and he's I think a worse prospect than Theo, I think you could say. Maybe that was just kind of people were scrambling and saying, hey, like, we just want a tight end, which the Chargers shouldn't have done, but I digress. I don't know, man. The tight end class, I think Theo's the one that you bet on because of the athletic traits, because of the blocking type, because of the receiving potential. But second round's still pretty rich to me.
What did Strange end up with?
He's on Jacksonville. He's
Jaguars, yeah.
I think it was like pick 61 or 2. Like, I think it was one of the last second round picks.
Any guess what? How many yards he had his rookie season as a second rounder?
190.
That's really nice of you.
Oh shit.
35.
Okay, I know he had some good blocking types. I follow a Jaguars podcaster, and he was always talking about Brenton Strange the blocker. So
it wasn't the receiver. It was he had one
Evan Engram. That makes sense.
Yeah, no, of course. Like, he's not the tight end one by any means, and that's still more than Trey McKitty had, I think. But yeah, he had 3 games with a catch, and 35 yards.
Poor Brenton Strange. there was a cornerback question I wanted to highlight before we jumped off of here, but now I can't find it. Shoot. I want to say it was like, how far down would you be comfortable before you take a corner or something like that?
Here we go.
Oh, thank you. From FPS Condi. How low could we trade down where you would be comfortable taking a CB1? Yeah, that was exactly it. I think we talked a little bit about Terrion Arnold on one of our episodes, but what's your thought process on maybe like a second or third corner?
I'm sorry. So you mean in like double dipping?
No. Like, you trade down and Arnold's off the board. Like, where would you
be
in like that second corner?
Gotcha. Outside of the top 10, within the teens, and I'd go Quinyon Mitchell.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think you bet on the athletic traits there. Yep. Hopefully you fix
pray they never run the pray they never run the ball, dude.
But the size, the speed, the athletic traits there are fantastic. So,
yeah, sure. Neiman, Henley, Zont, and Mitchell as like some of your back end players. You go get a D tackle the next pick, a big run stopping D tackle.
Yeah, for sure. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us tonight. Appreciate you for tuning in. Thanks for the questions. Like I mentioned, we're going to do a Saturday show exclusively dedicated to questions. So bring your A game that day. Tomorrow we'll be on the Chargers channel doing a bit of a combine recap as well as our pre-free agency mock draft. So mark your calendars for that one. Set the alarms for, I believe, 10 a.m. Don't quote me, but I believe it'll be at 10 a.m. So please go check that out. As always, make sure, like, comment, leave us a rating review. All that stuff does really help grow the show, so we appreciate that. That's going to do it for us tonight, guys. We'll see you next time. As always, bolt up.
You know, I'm pretty sure I hit the end of this gosh darn thing, man. Hey, everyone, we're still here. Should we just stay on another 50 minutes, guys? I hit the end stream button, I swear to God.
What is happening? I hit it too. It's
still
not
going. Are we still here?
What is happening?
Help! I've never had
this happen before. Oh my gosh.
I want to go away.
This stream can't end. We have to stay here forever.
Oh, all right, guys. My gosh. When we said Saturday stream, I didn't think we'd still be here.
So, like, I don't know what to do here, man.
We are still on. Look, that's us. We're still on.
All right, StreamYard. What the heck? Hostage situation. Well, not a hostage situation. What happens if we just leave the studio?
Yeah, we just leave. I'll put my dog up here, you know, take some questions.
No, but seriously, like, how? What the heck?
I think we just exit out of here, and then, yeah. See, a good thing I didn't break out all, you know, all of the nasty things on my mind. Yeah, assuming that we would, be off. Someone's okay. A puppy.
I'm going to try something. Bye.
Throwing your MacBook. It's just me. It's just, thanks, Steven. You're going to try something. It's just leaving me here. All right. See ya.